you, Chair. At the outset, I would like to give some suggestions regarding Article 14.5. In the beginning, I would like to recall that among the human rights community, and over years, there has been multiple authoritative voices, such as the Committee on Economic, Social, Cultural Rights, multiple mandate holders, as well as the guiding principles, which recognize that the negotiation and conclusion of trade and investment agreements could obstruct states from complying with their obligations under human rights law, and that states should take action in this regard. Currently, attempts to organize the interface between trade and investment law on one hand and human rights law is increasingly taking attention in the process of reforming the substantive content of international trade and investment treaties. So this binding instrument could be an opportunity for the human rights community to contribute to clarifying this interface as well, particularly because this issue requires solutions from both ends of the interface, both solutions under trade and investment law, as well as solutions under human rights law. And this is exactly what this forum could contribute to. So I have a few specific suggestions. In regard to Article 14.5A, I want to recall at the outset that the interpretation of trade and investment agreements, which is often in the hands of international arbitral tribunals or other international dispute settlement bodies, such as at the WTO, it is exactly there where policy space is carved out. For example, investment tribunals practice shows that arbitrators have often argued that there is no conflict between investment treaties and human rights, and that they are not inconsistent, not contradictory, or mutually exclusive, and consequently find that states could respect both obligations simultaneously. In doing so, they go ahead and order states to pay high amounts of money for taking legitimate measures in order to fulfill a human right, putting a high stress on fiscal conditions of these states and potentially instigating a regulatory chill. So in implementing the objectives reflected under Article 14.5A as currently in the draft text, it is not enough to rely on the role of international investment tribunals to or other international investment bodies to bridge the gap between the two bodies of law. This is why implementing such obligation requires states to actively and collectively intervene as masters of their own treaties in guiding the interpretations and the role of the dispute settlement arbitral tribunals. To that effect, in addition to the language that is currently in the text, it would be important to consider adding clarificatory language regarding the interpretation. This language could reflect what the Committee on Economic, Social, Cultural Rights provided in General Comment 24, particularly paragraph 13, where it provided that the interpretation of such agreements shall take full account of the human rights obligations of the state, consistent with Article 103 of the Charter of the United Nations and with the specific nature of the human rights obligations. It would be useful to consider inserting such language, while noting as well that its application would be notwithstanding other rules relating to conflicts of law arising from international law generally, including trade and investment agreements. The second point I want to make, if you allow me, is regarding Article 14.5b. Given the interpretative approaches of international dispute settlement bodies that I mentioned earlier, it is important to rethink and bolster the language pertaining to compatibility of investment and trade agreements with human rights under this specific article. The language used in 14.5A which provides that trade and investment agreements should not undermine or limit the state's capacity to fulfill its human rights obligations, could be added to clarify how compatibility should be understood from a human rights perspective. Moreover, in order to clarify the implementation of this obligation, it will be useful to make reference to the undertaking of human rights and sustainability impact assessments prior to signing and ratification of the agreement, and periodically throughout their application period, and ensuring that these agreements are in accordance with the results of the impact assessment. Several other colleagues have pointed to this issue. And the human rights community have done a lot of substantive work in this regard. One example mentioned previously by the ICJ are the guiding principles on human rights impact assessments of trade and investment agreements, which were presented in 2011 to the Human Rights Council. In addition to such kind of addition, it will be useful to add a subparagraph under 14.5b, providing that investment and trade agreements should include provisions to ensure the upholding of human rights in the context of business activities by parties benefiting from these agreements. I thank you for your indulgence and attention. Thanks.